Speaking of iPads.
Yeah.
Lynn Casper. Chicago Cubs play-by-play man.
I can't think of too many pitchers with bigger biceps than Michael Lorenzo. Man, he is put together.
All the latest news and notes from the Cubs.
I drive to left. We are tied. 5-5. Number 30.
Lynn Casper with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. Our good friend Len Casper, Cubs broadcaster, tortured Lions fan, and musician, joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline and big listener of the show. Len's always texting us and giving us feedback. So we felt like, Len, you might need a microphone now that you're here in the offseason. So we were going to invite you on anyway. It's Lions week. Today's a perfect day. How have you been, my friend?
Doing fine. How are you guys?
We are outstanding. It's good to have you on board, as always, and good to always get feedback. And Danny describes you as a tortured Lions fan. Is there any other kind of Lions fan?
No. And, you know, this is a horrible generalization, but having covered the Packers for many years early in my broadcasting career, having lived in Chicago now for the last 15 years and having grown up a Lions fan, the blanket statement is Packer fans always believe the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl, even if they're 3-11. Bears fans ride the roller coaster, and three bad plays in a row, they're going to go 1-15. Three good plays in a row, they've got a chance to win it all. Lions fans just know that no matter how many good things happen in a row, disaster is always around the corner. So you're just always waiting for the pass interference call, the hands to the face penalty, the not completing the process of the play, going back to the Megatron touchdown that was not in Chicago. So you're just kind of always waiting for the bad thing to happen if you're a Lions fan.
The football Cubs prior to 2016, they've played 50 some of these Super Bowls and they've yet to appear in one.
Yeah, and, you know, the Cubs were called the lovable losers, which was kind of not totally correct because, as you know, the Cubs have had a lot of really good teams over the last century plus, just teams that had fallen a bit short. The Lions have basically been losers. I mean, they had the 0-16 season. They've won one playoff game since 1957. My dad was born in 1947, so basically he's 72, and, you know, since he was 10, he's seen them win one playoff game. I mean, just imagine the futility that is required. It's almost like if the three of us ran that franchise, I don't think we could do it that badly, right?
No.
I mean, wouldn't you think over 52 years you could win two playoff games?
So, you know, other than Eric Kramer's win in 91, I think, the playoff
over Dallas.
Win.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Would I have it correct that Dwight Eisenhower was in office the last time they won prior to that? Is that right?
I think that's pretty accurate.
I think
accurate.
That's it. Oh, God.
Yeah, but, you know, the other thing about the Lions is they've had some really good players in their history and, you know, of recent vintage, obviously Barry Sanders and I mentioned Megatron.
Yeah, and then they quit early because they don't want to be a Lion anymore.
Yeah, you know, Matthew Stafford is certainly not a Hall of Famer, but I could see his number being retired. He will go down as one of the better quarterbacks in franchise history, but you just feel like a lot of these guys' careers get wasted on a lot of subpar teams. And to bring it up to current times, while the Bears have an offensive head coach, and that's the side of the ball they're struggling on, the Lions' offense has been pretty good, but they have a defensive head coach and Matt Patricia, and that's the side of the ball that has really failed them. So I think this matchup Sunday will be kind of strength against strength and weakness against weakness, and we'll see how that plays out.
When's the first time that the Lions broke your heart, Len Casper?
Probably 83. Yeah, it was 83. Monty Clark, I believe, was
83.
Yeah, they were in San Francisco, a playoff game. Parkins, you weren't alive. Mac may remember. Monty Clark literally was praying He had his hands together like praying to and looking up toward the sky as Eddie Murray missed a field goal and they lost the game.
Eddie Murray, longtime Lions kicker. Yeah. Would that have been the Dexter Bussey Lions? God,
yeah,
I just
that
love
would have been
some of those names.
Absolutely.
I wonder, though, you know, because I have a lot of respect for Stafford, too. And I wonder what the Bears would have looked like these last 2 years if Matthew Stafford would have been their quarterback. Last year might have played out a whole lot differently.
Yeah, you know, he's not a top five quarterback, but he's in that next group, and he's durable. I think he has a lot of leadership qualities. I have told the story many times on the air during games against Clayton Kershaw. I love this. This is one of my favorite nuggets to drop into a broadcast. And I assume you guys know this, and if I told you this, please stop me. But Stafford was Kershaw's catcher in high school, and Kershaw was Stafford's center on the football team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
Now, how cool is that?
And it's an incredible anecdote, and obviously Kershaw is a Hall of Famer. Stafford probably won't be, but I can't completely rule it out because he has a chance to be the quarterback version of Frank Gore, and everyone tells me Frank Gore's going into the Hall of Fame. He's about to become the third all-time leading rusher. He's 85 yards away from passing Barry Sanders. Matt Stafford is the fastest quarterback ever to 40,000 passing yards. He did it, I think, 4 games faster than Matt Ryan and 6 games faster than Peyton Manning. He has a chance, because of the durability that you talked about, Len, and the era of which he's playing, and because they've been losing so much that he's throwing a lot of yards and you know, garbage time stats, he has a non-zero chance of finishing as the all-time leading passer in NFL history.
Yeah, and so the question is, can you get in as a quarterback without having playoff success? And he still has a lot of years, and you know, I would leave open the possibility that they could make a postseason run. But when you do watch the Lions, you are always, again, looking around the corner for the bad thing to happen. And you kind of need to be proven, right? They got to show you that they can do it, and they haven't been able to do it. So I don't think they're a bad football team. They've been good enough to be in a lot of games so far this season. Probably should have beaten the Packers on the Monday night game. So, you know, to me, they look like a 7-8-1, 8-7-1, however you want to slice it up, sort of team this year.
Life through the eyes of a Lions fan with Len Casper on the McNeil and Parkin show. Thought we'd make you Bears fans feel maybe just a little bit better. Just you can hear what true suffering is really like. The last time I saw Barry Sanders introduced at Ford Field, the crowd was overwhelmingly warm to them, but that wasn't always the case after his unexpected retirement. How long did it take for him to re-ingratiate himself there?
You know, because I wasn't there at the time, I can't really tell you how long it took, but, you know, for me, I never held it against him. And especially, you know, at that time, we weren't talking about CTE and all of the problems a lot of retired players have gone through. But, you know, now looking at what he did through the 2019 lens of applaud him for getting out as early as he did. You know, and it looks to me, I don't know specifics, but he looks pretty healthy. But to be a running back who was elusive, but certainly had to take a lot of hits to get out and be healthy at whatever age he was, 29 or 30, I give him a lot of credit.
Len, I think most Cubs fans know, and certainly listeners of you here on the Score know, about your passion for music. But this event at Space in Evanston tonight seems to be pretty cool. Tell people what you're doing and if they can attend.
Yeah, it is a Space in Evanston, which is a great venue. Mark Caro, who used to write for the Chicago Tribune, does a series called Talking in Space, and invited me to kind of be the guest. And so that's tonight at 7:30. Tickets are available at the door. And because of the music side of things, actually have been working with not only Matt Spiegel, but some really good friends through Hot Stove. Formed a band called The 45, and I wrote some songs. And I'm now 48. That's the irony. I hope this record comes out before I hit 50. But I started writing them on the eve of my 45th birthday, and I just kind of thought, now or never. If I don't get the writing thing out of my system now, I probably never will do it. And had enough good musicians decide they like the music. So we've got a couple gigs this week. We're doing a charity event down at Fitzgerald's on Saturday, the Day of the Dowd for Gerald Dowd. So, yeah, a couple of music gigs this week. Looking forward to it.
Very, very nice. Tell us a little bit about your writing repertoire. Love songs, protest songs. Where does Len Casper go when he's penning lyrics for rock and roll?
I would say the ethos of the 45 is just kind of started from the idea of hitting what I would call a benchmark age in my life. I'm not young anymore, but I would hope I'm not old. And so it's just trying to figure out kind of my place in the world at this age and whatever wisdom I have gathered. And the music kind of has a post-punk new wave feel to it. So maybe a little Psychedelic Furs, Echo and the Bunnymen,
okay,
that kind of thing. Yeah.
Has it been therapeutic to just get it on paper?
Oh, it's been a blast. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, being around really good musicians kind of inspired me to do it. You know, again, I don't know if it's any good, but I like it. So that's really all I care about. And if other people like it, that's great. But I kind of did it for me, you know, so it was kind of a selfish thing to do. But at this point in my life, I'm going to do what I want to do, you know?
Yes, that a boy. 45-ish does change a guy. I won't go into any of it, but I had some remarkable revelations right around that age, and I can't help but ask you about your first fall without your son, to whom you are very close. He's now a freshman at the University of Illinois, and you and Pam are empty nesters until Thanksgiving.
It's been interesting. He was back home for 2 days last weekend, and the most time I spent with him was driving him back to Champaign, because when he came home, he wanted to see his friends who are now at Northwestern and other schools in the area. But I'm really proud of him. I have a quick story to tell you. Two Saturdays ago, I get a text from my dad, and the text said, "How about Illinois?" And I was not paying attention, so I go onto my phone, and I see that they had upset Wisconsin. So I send a text to my son. I said, is there a lot of commotion on campus? I get a reply, "No." "Really? There's nothing you notice on campus?" "Dad, I'm studying." "No." I said, "Anything? How far are you from the football field?" "Dad, I have no idea what you're talking about." I said, "Well, Illinois just came up with its biggest win in at least a dozen years." He said, "What do you want me to do, be blackout drunk on the street? I'm studying." He had no clue that Illinois had won. He didn't care that they had won, and he was pretty upset that I cared to tell him that they had won. So that tells you everything you need to know about Leo Casper.
Well, and about Illinois football.
That's true.
That's not exactly an endorsement of Lovie Smith's program and his hold on that campus, Len.
Well, it also speaks to my son is his own man. Yes. I did not in any way try to force him into liking sports. He appreciates what I do for a living. He finds it cool when friends of his find out who I am or what I do, but I'm still just his dad, and I like it that way.
I remember that first drive to go get Van for a weekend 10 years ago. Speaks and I had just started working together. I was heading down 41 South at about 80 miles an hour. I imagine you gave your gas pedal a workout on 57 to go get him.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. I'll be down there a few more times for sure. Hey, and we were talking, you were talking about PA announcers the other day, and I've got so many great opinions, but is it Harvey Wittenberg?
Yes.
He was always one of my favorites at the old stadium, and I like the old school guys who kind of have this I don't really care thing instead of the screaming. You know, my thing is, man, when somebody scores a goal or someone hits a three-pointer, like, I'm excited for my team. I don't need the PA guy to yell at me, you know?
Yep.
I feel old, but I go back to the old school guys, and I miss a lot of them.
The 45. You're not old, but you're not young. You're right.
That's
in your
right prime.
Well, good luck tonight, man. That's a really cool thing, and it sounds like you're very proud of it, and I hope it all goes well. So go see Len Casper at Space in Evanston.
Have fun tonight, Len.
All right, guys. Appreciate you having me on, and I think it'll be a pretty tight game on Sunday. I will not pick a winner, but I would be surprised if it's a blowout on either side.
A scoreless tie. Thank you, Len.
See you, fellas.
The Honolulu Blue and the Bears. And then we get to see him again in a couple of weeks on Thanksgiving, too.
Yeah.
That's not that far away.
It'll put you in the holiday spirit.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. There have been a few good ones. I don't expect this to be among them, but there have been a few good Bears-Lions Thanksgiving Day dates.
Eat early.
Yeah.
Right?
It kind of changes the whole day, doesn't it?
Only if you let it. Like, yes, we have to watch the game, but only if you let it.
It's the 11:30 to 2 should be for greeting people and, you know, getting together with, you know, you're in the bosom of the family.
Yes.
Not the, you know, the...
You're not annoyed with them yet.
The headaches of Matt Nagy.
My dad used to say, who's the 3 o'clock? That was that's all he wanted to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the 3 o'clock?
God. Listen, when I saw the schedule come out, I was not happy about it. I don't want to have to pay too much attention. But
right, second straight year too.
Yeah, thankfully the Bears are not going to make us pay that much attention. They're going to be. They might be mathematically eliminated by that.
I will not be able to stop myself.
I got
to put Thanksgiving on hold. Put Thanksgiving on hold. Hold on to that turkey and that stuffing. I got Bears to watch. I got 9 yards in the first half. That's what I was trying to say.
It was impressive. We have Hub Arkish at 4 o'clock on what changes Matt Nagy should make. You love talking shop. We have big radio news, but also some great fake radio madness.
Oh, good.
And I'm not talking like madness, it's wacky. I mean like being mad on the radio. I think you're going to enjoy it coming up on The Score.
When you were ripping Adam Gase, you know, I just wanted to know what your thoughts were. The Daily News came out with an article that you ripped a fart. I just want to know your point on what you...
What are you talking about? I mean, I don't know what... You're just a moron. I mean...
That was how Mike Francesa was alerted on Afternoon Drive yesterday on the biggest sports radio station in the country.
Fought.
That the New York Daily News was writing about him farting.
Fought.
Yeah, that of
Fought.
Course was a produced piece, and Anthony edits that stuff, and there's no way there could be that. You think, well, that's just stupid. He vehemently denied it.
And then.
Fought.
Today.
Yeah.
He announces he's leaving FAN again.
He's going to leave FAN effective mid-December, is it?
Yep, mid-December is the expected detail still to come, but he'll be involved with Radio.com. He'll still do some stuff with WFAN, but Mike Francesa, Daily and Afternoon Drive, it comes to an end. And I assume...
And then he'll be back by July.
Probably. And I assume it has nothing to do with the fart. But
when you cannot function.
Yes, there it is. It's just so beautiful.
Oh, who cares?
It's really the Mona Lisa of radio. But it's like, it's kind of sad. Like, if things didn't end poorly, they wouldn't end, that old expression. Like, Mike Francesa, whatever you think of him, this sports radio legend, he's made tens and tens of millions of dollars over his career. But because the thing that went viral yesterday was the allegation that he farted, the day that he announces his retirement from the Fan, it's linked in all of the stories.
Well, the timing is curious, isn't it?
No question. It's been talked about by all those New York media reporters that his time was running down by the end of the year. But yeah, the timing is absolutely curious. And so now you can't get a Mike Francesa retirement story without yesterday Mike Francesa was embroiled in a farting controversy.
I don't go back with him super far. I didn't listen to his show with Russo a ton until I was running out to Bristol, Connecticut in the winter of 01, just because I could get it there. This is, you know, before you had radio on your phone. And I remember it being more playful when he had a partner with him.
Oh, yeah.
Although I didn't listen to it, what I'm saying is I didn't consume enough to know if I ever thought he was a happy person. He clearly has not been a very happy person these last few years. At least every time you guys pick something out, every time I see him in the news, he's so sour and dour.
He's very serious. He has a very high opinion of himself.
But is that all? That's not always been the case, though, has it? I mean, I've seen him at Super Bowls and at Radio Row, and I've seen him laughing and enjoying life.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't know the man, but certainly when he was with Chris Mad Dog Roos, there was it's easier to be funny and light when you're playing off of somebody else. And Mad Dog is a crazy person, so he was the clown to Frances's right. straight man.
Right, right, and it worked.
And it worked, yeah. But so he is retiring. The one of the godfathers of sports talk radio is retiring, and
sort of,
kind of.
He's still going to do a podcast.
He's going to do radio.com content, whatever that's going to end up looking like. Yes, and he says he wants to spend more time in Florida, and he'll still do some things on WFAN.
The ocean. He grew up on the block the ocean's at, so you gotta find an ocean, right?
Exactly right. He's never going to be too far away from an ocean. But also,
so yeah. I grew up like right on the ocean. I mean, I grew up where I walked to it every day. I lived on the same block as the ocean. Fought when you cannot function.
The ocean had a block all to itself.
I'm going to be sad to see him go if for nothing else than the content.
You'll find content. You'll find it on .com. You'll find him being him.
I of course. Of
if you look hard enough, I'm sure it'll be out there.
Of course. But there's just something to that guy doing that show, pulling nine shares in New
York. What does that do for the lineup at FAN then?
Undetermined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe and Evan, their midday show. No one cares about this. But yeah, there's a popular midday show that could move there, could sprinkle other people in. A lot of people turned that job down when he retired the first time because they didn't want to be the guy that follows the legend.
Yeah, they knew they were going to get Leno'd.
Yeah, exactly right. So I think Adam Schein turned him down. Kimberly Jones turned him down. Mm-hmm. A couple of other people turned him down. And then they got rid of Chris Carlin a couple months ago with Bart Scott and Maggie Gray. So maybe Bart and Maggie go back there. I'm not sure. But Carlin left Philly to go to New York.
Put that in the Boomer Esiason hopper for Monday.
That's exactly right. We'll add it to the list because good Lord about the Bears. But you were talking about we should have Len on to show Bears fans that it could be worse. You could be a Lions fan. There's another team where it could be worse, and that is the Cleveland Browns. You could be a Browns fan. And a very talented young radio host, a guy by the name of Ken Carman, has been doing mornings in Cleveland for a number of years. He is also a Northeastern guy, so he has those Northeast sports talk, sports are serious, ranting and raving sensibilities. And we are going to play this rant about the Browns from Ken Carman in the vein of it could be worse to be a Brown fan than a Bear fan. But also, at the end, we have to determine whether or not we think he is real mad or if he's fake mad. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
Okay, here is Ken Carman on the Browns, real mad or fake mad.
Because I said what I said, and it's my freaking fault for having any faith whatsoever in you. I should never, ever do it again. I should never have faith ever again. I should line up and be like the predecessors before me and be nasty and mean-spirited and angry over the entire thing every single time we watch out one of these quarterbacks that will hopefully take us from the hell that we have created for ourselves throughout this entire time and have us have this happen yet again. Quit more yelling. Saviors, more Messiahs, the same damn actions, the same thing. The emperor no longer has clothes, and I am a shell of myself. Today's the day where things change. So after this screaming and after this yelling, I'm sorry, because it's 6:20 in the morning. Oh, I'm gonna lay here and I'm gonna take it. If you got something to yell at the Browns, you yell at them. You got something to yell at Baker Mayfield or John or Freddie Kitchens, you go ahead and let it off your chest. If you got something to say to me, you go ahead and say it. Because I made a guarantee that I'm personally responsible for. I have let myself down. I have let you down. I have let everybody down. So for the next 3 hours and 40 minutes, you got something to say to me, you go right on ahead. You will not get anything back from me. I got it coming to me because I'm a damn fool for having any faith whatsoever in this train wreck. Goodbye.
Quiet down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you could be a Browns fan.
A radio veteran stepping away from the microphone if you're going to shout at that many decibels.
That's
right. Yeah, I appreciate the expertise there.
Yeah. So let's go around the room here. Real mad or fake mad?
Well, I don't know this cat. It could have been fake, but he sold me on it.
He sold you on it.
Yeah, he sold me on it. I can believe that. That's pick a city. I mean, every city that lost in the NFL this past, that's probably what a morning show host sounded like.
Tanny, real man or fake man?
I heard you guys laugh also, but when he said it's 6:20 in the morning, yeah, that was the funniest thing. Yeah, but definitely not real.
Definitely not real. Okay, Phenom, Sean Anderson, real mad or fake mad?
Hang on, the Phenom is screening some calls here. We got, him here. Totally... He's hard to get, the Phenom, so I think we got him right now.
Go ahead.
I would say that he is fake mad. There's no way you can be screaming like that at 6:20.
Yeah, I'm with Mac. I think that there's performance art there. Like, you know what I mean? You're taking it to another level. Mm-hmm. But I think that was a guy who was like, I don't want to do any work the rest of the day. So if I give you 7 minutes of this, I will have calls for the next 3.5 hours, and then I don't have to do anything.
Like, he thought of something that really made him mad, and he channeled that energy into a Browns rant.
Exactly. That's what it was. Like, there was real anger there, but it was selfishly motivated.
Yeah, I bought it. I absolutely bought it. And that clearly is another city that's had it way worse than we have. They had their football team taken away from them, too, for a handful of years.
The one thing that might help his case is that his show starts at 6 a.m., so that could be the first thing that he's firing off, and he's just sick of talking about the Browns.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, this is the day. This is the one.
We're not analyzing plays today. Yeah. We're not going over that. They lost to the Broncos. I was wrong. I'm the idiot for having faith in this. And for faith in Freddie Kitchens. And for faith in John Dorsey.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
But I think misery loves company. So it feels good to talk to Len Casper about the Lions and to talk, you know, Ken Carmen about the Browns.
I got a little worked up, like, not at that level. I don't think I flirted with that level, but the Raiders game got me quite up. I think it was the Raiders game.
There's so many of them.
Yeah, there have been, but resigned at this point.
Yeah, right.
Knowing it's not turning around, accepting my fate.
It's easier this way. Dave Miska, audio engineer extraordinaire. Would you like to weigh in, real mad or fake mad?
I gotta go fake mad.
Okay.
But that's unbelievable. That whole I'm a shell of myself. Because yes, if I'm in my car in Cleveland, I've punched over to MMS, the classic rocker, and I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's football, mister. It's nothing is that important.
Definitely. All right, Dave Miska, not a football guy, writing that down.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I am a football guy, but it's there's bigger things to be angry about.
No, it's that, sports. Not sports is life.
Sports is life. Right.
Is life.
Yeah.
Oh God.
He was.
What a business we're in.
Yeah.
Like people aspire. People go to journalism school.
It did turn into mail it in Monday. I think you're right.
Right.
Put my feet up. Get the good coffee going. Let these other people take care of it for me.
It's a great trick.
Yeah.
It really is. You don't want to play that card every day, though.
No, you can't.
Yeah, right. Coronary on the air.
You can't, right. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Bottom of the hour on the score brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves Youth Hockey Program is presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youthhockey to learn how to get your team on the ice to play during intermission of a Wolves game. We are winners. We are the Wolves. This hour also brought to you by CarX. Save up to $200 on 4 tires installed at CarX.
This season, I would say, in the AFC, the Browns probably have had the Browns fan base probably has had it rougher than anybody else based on expectations.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a Super Bowl pick, even though some people thought it was cute and trendy to go ahead and pick the Browns, but they have had a really rough go, and losing on the road the way they did, they did not play well again the other day. And some people are starting to wonder if we're going to have another one and done here this year, like they had for Steve Wilkes last year in Arizona, if Freddie Kitchens is going to survive this.
He probably should, right? Not survive it. It should be another one and done. It's not fair, but when you go all in like that, and you trade and you sign and you do everything, like, you have to get someone who can maximize that offense,
mm-hmm,
because you don't have that much time with all of these guys under contract in their prime. Like, they are supposed to be a contender now and for the next 2 years. That's their window.
Well, it makes me feel a little bit better.
That's what I'm saying.
Learning about the Browns and learning about the Lions and, you know, logos that have never been stamped on a Super Bowl ticket in the 53 or 54 of these things that have been played. You know, the... The Carolina Panthers, an expansion team in the mid-90s, have been there twice. And the Browns are a charter franchise. I mean, they lost their team for a few years, but a charter franchise that can't get there.
I'd love to be comparing the Bears to the Steelers and the Patriots and the top of the NFL.
Instead, we'll do it with the Browns and Lions.
Exactly, but it's power by an easy compare. It actually feels a little bit better.
Chiefs fans, long-standing torture, too, have not sniffed a game with Roman numerals on it since Super Bowl IV.
That is correct.
Every one of you sucks!
Oh, my guy, Bob Fesco.
Also have been close a couple times, and I thought closer last year than what they actually got, but we'll see.
Win games now! I could have gone pumpkin picking!
That guy. That was the guy who did mornings on the station I used to work at. I could have gone pumpkin picking and had cider. Cider in Lewisburg.
In Kansas City.
Admit you suck.
Yeah. Admit you suck. You goes by Bulldog Bob Fesco.
I could have had donuts down in Lewisburg and cider. But no, I watched your sorry ass play.
Sounds like Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, he lost himself in that moment. That was definitely performance art. That was definitely, I could 100% say that was fake, Matt.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, sorry,
be who
Bob.
You are.
Hub Arkish at 4 o'clock. Want to take a trip down memory lane with this place?
Absolutely, Danny.
It's very cool that we're here ahead of this game tonight. It's Mac and Parkins at the UC on the score.
They've waited a long time for this to be at home. Slipped in front and Crawford another block. Five to go. For the third time in 6 years, the Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions. The longest of waits when the hopes were so great. The episodes in life that last so many years in memory are measured in fleeting moments as they happen. Joel Quenneville celebrates with his team. Patiently waiting are the Lightning. Normally for the handshake line, it is the captains who lead them.
One of many great memories in the United Center, which celebrated its 25th anniversary yesterday.
Yeah, happy anniversary to what I consider to be this city's crown jewel of sports venues. I have loved it since the beginning, and of the Hawks' three recent championships, as Mike Emmerich might have caught that in his description. The only one that was on home ice, they won it in Boston in 10, or I'm sorry, in Philly in 10, and then Boston in 13. And I wasn't here to see them skate the cup around United Center ice that night. That was the only clincher I did not attend. I had morning drive the following day, and Kathy Voltmer, my partner, says, are you feeling wistful today? Wishing you? Not at all. You know, it's fun to watch a celebration on television. I've had a lot of cool moments in that building. And it was certainly fine not to be here for it, but certainly the Blackhawks during their heyday of recent years highlights my 25 years in this building, and there have been a ton of them. You obviously, as a kid growing up with the Bulls in the 90s, had your share of them. There have been some great concerts here, some great other entertainment events I've enjoyed in this building. Disney on Ice. Fantastic all the time. Patrick and I, just a few years ago, at the Beauty and the Beast version of Disney on Ice.
Oh,
in particular.
Really?
Yeah, that was a big mover.
Well, I mean, it's a multi-purpose venue, Mac. They could put anything in here.
It's awesome. And it took some getting used to for a kid who grew up in the stadium.
Sure.
And, you know, really, but it didn't take long to realize this was better. Yes, yeah. I missed how cool the organ loft looked in the other end of the rink with press box in the opposite end. And how intimate it was, and 18,472 fans stacked right on top of the ice. But it's nice to be in this building and not have to stand in water after a period of hockey when you go to the restroom or smell the smoky corridors. Even as a smoker, that irritated me because there was nowhere for it to go.
I remember as a kid, yeah, I mean, there was just a layer of smoke.
Yes.
Like, what is that smell, Dad? Like, I remember having that conversation. He's like, well, you know, it's just people smoking cigarettes. It is what it is, and it's become a part of the building. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It just perpetually smells like cigarettes. But mentioned my memories has a Bulls fan here. I've talked about it famously or infamously on this station. This audio of my favorite Bulls memory in this building sounds a little better.
We're in the final second. The Chicago Bulls have won the 95-96 NBA championship. Make it four in 6 years as they defeat the Sonics 87-75. And they are going wild in the Windy City. We'll be talking with Michael in just a few moments, and I would think there is a tie-in with his late dad on this Father's Day, 1996.
Seeing Jordan win his first title after his dad had been killed with my dad on Father's Day.
Marv Albert did a better job than I did explaining the significance of that moment.
Wow.
Shocking.
How'd your dad know MJ's dad?
I know. It was Big Game Tom. He was connected. Yeah. But no, going to that game.
That puts you at 10 in 1996.
That's
not even 10.
Yeah,
going on 10.
That's exactly right. First of all, score 87-75. That might be the score at halftime of today's game between the Bulls and Lakers. But yeah, going to that game, my brother was getting ready to move to Boston, and it was my mom, my dad, my older brother, and me, the four of us on Father's Day. And I remember Michael Jordan getting emotional. Mm-hmm. They followed him into the locker room when he collapsed onto the locker room floor, and the camera followed him in there and put him up on the Jumbotron on the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird because, like, the stadium's obviously going insane and the players are celebrating on the court and everything, but then you see Jordan bawling his eyes out, and
yeah,
it was like a weird juxtaposition of emotion of seeing Jordan clearly sad, thinking about his dad, Father's Day, and then the celebration of the championship. And then
mm-hmm.
because my brother was moving to Boston, my dad got choked up after the game, like giving my brother a hug goodbye because he was getting ready to move. I was like, oh my God, these are so many emotions. Can I have a T-shirt that says Bulls Champions? And then I bought one right outside. It was a very, very weird thing, but I got my T-shirt. That was one of the coolest sporting events I've ever been to.
This building is great. I mean, I love its proximity to two major thoroughfares. Salute.
Yep.
You don't have to stop at a restaurant on your way here for an event because there's plenty of really good food here at the United Center. It's gotten better over the years, but even in the early days, there was good food available. I love the parking lots.
Tons of parking.
I'm a big F-150 guy.
Are you?
Built Ford Tough, so I like having parking lots. I love this place. I love sitting in the club level for hockey. I would rather sit club level for hockey than anything.
Well, this area also, I mean, this building was a big part of the revitalization of the neighborhood.
Absolutely.
Around here. I mean, I remember going to, you know, see Eddie Belfour at Chicago Stadium and my dad, like, gripping my hand.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, walking to the stadium, and he was telling me, you know, keep your heads up, stay close to me, that sort of thing. And just having this, like, idea of fear and danger or that sort of thing,
yeah,
around
several
the old
blocks
building.
Away, the old Chicago Stadium, several blocks away in the 80s, I'd be covering Hawks practices, and middle of the day, you know, you see drug deals going on in the corners, you see hookers selling their products out, just middle of the day. Then it was not a safe place to be. The neighborhood is outstanding now. Love it. It would shock you to learn that my first event in this building in 94 was not a Blackhawks game. And it was not Disney on Ice. It was a Bulls game.
Really?
My first time, these hallways, my shadow graced these hallways, was a Bulls game. Yep, Bulls and Cavaliers with my guy Greg Salk, who's now the program director and business operations manager at XRT, my former boss at The Loop.
I would have got that wrong in Mackey Trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Would Shep have gotten that question right?
I doubt it.
Okay. Well, he knows everything about you.
Yes. I'll check with him if I ever do the book. Yeah.
Fellow Shep Tidesman.
Shep will be back tomorrow. He's
going
to be splitting up, I think, some of his paternity leave. So he's
going
to come back
Ashley's
for a few days.
Well, Ashley's probably sick of him.
Yeah.
Probably.
When we get sick of him, he can go back on paternity
right.
leave. We'll just go back and forth. My first concert ever in this building, Rolling Stones, Bridges to Babylon. First concert
nice.
I ever went to, 97. Because
nice.
I think they opened it Soldier Field
right.
in 96, and then that was a huge
yeah.
thing. And then they were here for their second Chicago stop.
Blues Traveler also on the bill, I believe, for that tour.
I don't remember
yeah.
the opener. I remember this, The bridge to Babylon.
Yeah. Stones here in both 7 and 13. Boy, what a week it was in 13 here. You had the Hawks in Boston, and that right on the back end of that, the Rolling Stones. And that was the tour when Mick Taylor rejoined the fellas for a set.
The first time I met Mac was in that building. It was an Elton John 2018 concert. I was walking out. My heart was racing. I saw Danny Mac in front of me. I ran up and said hi.
How about that? The phenom, Sean Anderson.
How about it?
Heart racing to meet a Dan McNeil. I remember those
days. He is the phenom!
You suck up.
I beep when I go through security because I have an artificial left knee, and that was the night I learned this is going to be a joke I use every time with these guys when you go through. I say artificial left knee, and I said to the guy, you're going to hear a lot of that tonight at the Elton John concert. So I use that all the time. Next events afterward. Bet you heard that a lot at the Elton John show.
That's a good line. I would like to
it
today.
Works, so I keep rolling it out.
Well, you told the person today at the metal detector, I'm guessing you used that line before too. I got to take it with me.
Yeah.
When you can't,
standard fare.
Can't leave it at all.
In the pocket.
Hub Arkish has ideas of what Matt Nagy should change to make the next 8 games have some meaning. He shares them with us next on The Score.